today as we come to the table.
And I will give this people favor. Now that kind of shifts here, the last couple of verses. And he says, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed. So when you leave, you're going to go with some possessions. Notice God, again, has the ability. Several things to note here, but notice first of all, that God has the ability to give us favor. That's a good prayer to pray. If you're at your workplace and they don't like you, or you're wherever and they don't like you and things are going hard, start praying for favor. Say, God, I see in your word that you gave the children of Israel favor, and not just favor, it was favor with their enemies.
The children of Israel were certainly blessed. God's favor was upon them, even when they were among their enemies. As Pastor Mark will share in his message today, God provided all they needed from the hands of the people oppressing them. God would continue to show favor to his people as they traveled toward the place he had promised them. Even in their disobedience, God provided all they needed. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark will encourage you to seek the same from the Lord. Don't be afraid to ask him for provision and for favor in difficult circumstances. God knows what you need, and he's there for you. Let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Exodus chapter 3 for the continuation of God's message of hope in the midst of oppression.
This is the message God gives to Moses. He's saying, look, Moses, don't give me this whole big thing. Why you can't do it? You're just an ordinary guy. You don't speak well. You're this. That's who I use. I use guys that come out and talk to people in bathrobes for crying out loud. That's who I use. Stop trying to be something you're not and just do what I've told you to do. And so Moses, again, trying to squirm out of everything he can. And now we see the message. That's God saying, I am who I am. Here's the message. Now tonight, we're not going to see any more of Moses' excuses. We're going to see them when we get into chapter 4. The rest of his excuses. But now to finish out chapter 3, we're going to see what the message was. And this is where we get into really the theme of tonight, God's message of hope in the midst of oppression, because the people were oppressed and he was sending Moses to give them that hope in the midst of their oppression, even as we are called to what? Give the people around us hope in the midst of the oppression today. Is there oppression today in America and the world? Do you guys feel it? Is there a loss of hope? Do you think there's a loss of hope? There's people that have gone bankrupt and lost everything they have. There's loss of hope all around us. The divorce rates, the drug rates, I mean, everything, it's a mess. So understand, there's an application to where we are today in being messengers of God. We are the Moseses of today. And so God has said, go to this world that's in oppression and doesn't have any hope. Give them hope. Let them know, even if you have nothing and you lose it all, rejoice. You have a place in heaven forever where you'll have more than you ever dreamed or imagined with Jesus Christ in glory. This is temporary. This is passing away. And if you'll simply believe, you'll not only be forgiven of everything you've ever done wrong, you're going to inherit a place in the kingdom. That's good news. God commissions him. Here's the message, Moses. Look at verse 15. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel. Here's the message. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Wow, let me think of this message. Here you are trapped in Egypt as a slave and under this oppression. And this guy shows up that says, God Almighty, the God of heaven, the one that you know in your heart, whether you know him or not, because God says he's put it in everyone's heart. He has sent me to you to tell you that God loves you. He sent me to do that and that God's going to deliver you. This, and boy, you talk about being in a state of oppression and depression and hopelessness, this is like good news. Yes, I'm ready for this. He sent me to you. This is my name forever. That is the I am, and I am who I am. And this is my memorial to all generations. Go, gather the elders of Israel, that is the leaders, together, and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, and they would have known that God, it was passed down to their culture and their people, appeared to me saying, so God himself has appeared to me. I'm coming now to give you the message. Their ears would have been attentive to this. Mine would have been saying, I have surely visited you and I've seen what is done to you in Egypt. What a great message for God to say, I see what you're going through. I've come and I've looked. I see what's happening in your marriage. I see what's happening in your finances. I see what's happening in your personal life. I see what's happening in your workplace. I see what's happening in whatever it is. I see it. God is saying that. Go tell him, I see it. And I think God would say to you tonight, I see it. I see what you're going through. I know what's happening. I know that. And now I'm giving you my word tonight to give you encouragement. I've come to set you free. I've come to deliver you. I've come to give you hope. Trust in me. Turn your eyes to me. Watch what I do. And it doesn't always come right away, does it? Sometimes it comes with delay. I mean, look at when Moses goes down, and we're going to see this later on. He goes to the people and tells them, God's come to set you free. Well, in my mind, that means like today. Well, let's go. Let's get out of here. Well, they had all this time yet to go, months to go. We don't know how long. We don't know for sure. But all the plagues and all the stuff. And get this, before they were set free, it got a lot worse. So oftentimes when God is going to do something new in your life and deliver you from wherever you are and whatever you're in, oftentimes it gets a lot worse before it gets better. Don't lose hope. God has a purpose. He's doing something. He says, I've visited you. I've seen what's going on. I know your plight. I know what's happening. Here's what God said to them. I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt. I love that. Because Egypt in Scripture is what? Type of the world. I will bring you up out of the affliction of the world. Lord, the world is so heavy on me right now. Everything's weighing me down. It seems like I can't get ahead. I mean, just the car breaks. After the car breaks, the stove breaks. After the stove breaks, you know, the whatever breaks. And everything's breaking. And you know how it seems to go in those waves. You know, probably you guys have had that happen. You know, we're in one of those right now. Everything's breaking. One thing breaks here, another thing breaks there, and just keeps breaking. Like, what's going on? It's like, it seems like you can't get a break because everything's breaking. And God knows that. God sees that. He says, I see the affliction. I see the weight of what you're going through, the affliction of Egypt. I've come to deliver you out of it to the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Note this, to a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, I'm going to take you from this oppression that you're in to a place of blessing. Trust me. Trust me. And so God tells him, gather the elders. Here's the official message. I've seen your difficulty. What a great message for us tonight, you know, and I've come to deliver you and to give you hope, and here's the hope you want to hear. And again, I hear this message about hope from God. I like to hear it. What do you think the unbeliever is going to feel like? If they have no hope in the world, we at least know that when we die, we're going to heaven. They don't know that. And when I read this, this gives me hope. God says he's going to take the oppression off of me and give me blessing again. I'm like, Lord, I want that. I have hope in this. How much more the world would have hope in this? And he says, I'm going to take you from the evil world. And I'm going to take you to a new place of blessing beyond your wildest dreams. And what do I mean beyond your wildest dreams? He describes it as a land flowing with milk and honey. And the meaning here in the whole language means abundance in all the things you need to survive, and you'll be extremely blessed. Now, again, it doesn't mean necessarily financial blessing. Some teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that every believer is going to be rich or healthy and wealthy. And nowhere does the Bible teach that. That appeals to the flesh. And so that draws a big crowd. You know, I'd like to believe that God wanted me to be healthy and wealthy, and what am I going to need to do to get it? Give me all the money and I never get sick. You're going to get sick. Your family's going to get sick. Your kids are going to get sick. You're going to go through trauma. You're going to go through devastation sometimes. You're going to be wondering where the next bill's going to be, and you might be right exactly where God wants you to be. So don't get caught in that trap. But God says in the midst of it, I will bless you. I will bless you in the spirit. I will make sure that you're taken care of. And God is faithful to do that. Abundance is really the idea. Whenever you see land of milk and honey, he's really speaking of just God's abundant blessing. Milk speaks of milk of the abundant flocks. You know, if you had a lot of milk, there'd be a lot of flocks. And in that day, your wealth was based on your flocks. You know, if you had a bunch of flocks, then you were a very wealthy person. So he says, I'm going to bless you as a nation, make you a wealthy nation. Honey speaks of literal honey, as in bees honey and date, the date fruit honey. Not your date, that is your honey. I don't mean that, but the date fruit. Some of y'all say, well, that sounded funny when it came out, but the date fruit, but it's analogous. Here's the bottom line. The sweetness of the Lord will be in your life. I'm going to give you the sweetness of the Lord. And in some of the hardest times I've been in, the sweetness of the Lord is abundant in my life. I love it. And you know, when the sweetness of the Lord is in your life, you can just rest. It's a great place. That's God's blessing. He gives it to us today. You know, fullness, milk and honey. This is the message God says to go tell them. That's what I'm doing. Notice he says, then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt. and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. So you get the elders together. You go talk to Pharaoh, this one who's oppressing you. And by the way, Pharaoh's a type of Satan in the scripture. Egypt, the time of the world. You go to Pharaoh, let him know, look, God has said he's going to give us, you know, deliver us from this. We're supposed to go a 3 days' journey and get away from this. So you guys go and let him know this message. And I love this because God tells Moses that the people will, they'll believe him and they'll heed his voice. The elders are going to go with him. There's going to be a 3 day journey into the wilderness in order to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. And we're going to see that Pharaoh doesn't like this very much for a couple of reasons. It's not hard to figure out. Pharaoh wouldn't like this. First of all, he's prideful. He's a prideful dictator. He's been abusing the Jews in Egypt as slaves. Secondly, he's already got his own gods. He doesn't believe in the real God. He's got his own gods, which he no doubt wouldn't listen to even if they were real, because he's so full of himself that Pharaohs believed they were gods, that they were a god on that day, and much less some new god who's claiming to be the God of the Hebrews. So you can rest assured that he would not do anything God said until he was forced to do, and that's exactly what's going to happen. God's going to force him to let him go, and he's not going to let him go until God forces him. But even under these circumstances, notice how gracious God is to this prideful Pharaoh. You know, I was thinking about this. God could have sent Moses in there to say, you know what? You will let us go whether you like it or not. You know, is it going to be by force or is it going to be willingly? But notice what God tells him to do. He says, just go and tell him, let my people go. God gives Pharaoh the choice. He shows grace to Pharaoh. He gives him the opportunity to obey the Lord. I love this about the Lord because God doesn't force anybody to obey him. He simply gives us a choice to obey. He doesn't make us obey. Now, again, there will come a day if we don't obey, we'll be forced to. The Bible says eventually every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. But God doesn't force anybody to follow. It's our choice to follow. And now he's not going to force Pharaoh to do it either. And I just think, man, what God's grace. What a loving God. You know, he could just make us obey. But notice this. He says they have to take a 3 day journey. Note this. Or have a 3 day difference, if you will, between them and the people of Egypt in order to please God. And the same thing is true today. If we're going to please God, there has to be a 3 day difference between us and the rest of the world. What do I mean, a 3 day difference? The cross. The 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the resurrection. You see, it's only through the cross and the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, that's the only thing that makes us different from the world, and that's the only thing that gets any of us into the kingdom of God. That's it. So even as they had to have that 3 day difference to have an acceptable sacrifice to God in that day with Egypt, we also have to have a 3 day difference, if you will, in order to make God satisfied in the sacrifice that makes us acceptable to God today. But we're talking about Jesus Christ and that spiritual picture of Christ on the cross. Let him know that. But here's God reveals to him what's going to happen. He says, but I'm sure, I mean, God knows his heart. He knows what's going to happen. I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. I know this guy's full of pride. He's arrogant. I'm going to have to force him. I'm going to give him the option to choose to first. But I'm going to have to force him to. He says, so I will stretch out my hand and I will strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. So he tells him in advance, he's not going to let you go. Even with the mighty hand of God pushing him, he's not going to let you go. I think about the pride and the stubbornness in Pharaoh's heart. When I was thinking, how many plagues would it take for me to finally say, all right, you know, I believe your God. Your God's real. Nobody can do this but God. How many would it take? And we're going to see it took all the way up until 10. It took all the way up until literally God brought the final plague, which the final plague was the death of Pharaoh's own son, the firstborn. I mean, it had to get so bad in Pharaoh's life that God had to allow his first child to die before it even got Pharaoh's attention. How stubborn and sad is that? And that, you know, really is heartbreaking because as a pastor, I see this kind of stuff even in people's life today. Listen, here's the bottom line. God will do whatever it takes to break someone and bring them to salvation because he wants everybody in heaven. And if that means that God has to let our life fall completely apart in total destruction to get us saved, he will do that. The problem is, as God begins in his love, as God begins to allow lives to fall apart, what happens? People start blaming God. How could a God of love? If God loved me, why? It's because God loves you that your life's falling apart. It's because God loves you that this happened. God's allowing this and or doing it so you'll repent and come to your senses. And yet oftentimes mankind doesn't understand that. And so they rebel and they, you know, how could God? And they get mad and they get firm in their heart or whatever. And God says, I'm trying to get your attention. What's it going to take? You know, you have to lose a child before you're going to look up. You have to lose a wife, a husband. You know what? You have to lose a home, a job, a career. You have to lose your health. What do I have to do to get your attention? I love you enough to keep you from going to eternal separation in hell. So I'll do whatever I have to do to get you to come to your senses. And so that's what's going to happen with Pharaoh. I mean, I tell you, I've seen people that allow so much devastation in their life. So much has come into their life. And rather than repenting and running to the Lord, they just continue on and don't even take heed to it. It's frustrating. I remember one particular person I was praying for, and I was praying for him, and I, you know, it was like, Lord, if their life has to fall apart in order to get their attention, let their life fall apart. And I began to watch their life fall apart. I mean, devastating things, divorce, all kinds of devastating things. And it's not that I'm praying for that. I wasn't praying for divorce or that. I was just praying for their salvation. But God's like, look, what do I have to do to get this person's attention? And I think not because of my prayer, that's not my point, but I know that God loves us all. And as I was praying for this, I think God allowed me to watch what was happening in that person's life so I could see his hand. Look, I'm trying to get their attention, Mark. But they won't pay any attention. No matter what I do, no matter how bad it gets, they won't pay attention. And I remember seeing that moment pass. It was like this moment of devastation in this person's life. And I'm thinking, they've got to come to Christ through this. The devastation got to its peak. They refused to come to Christ. The devastation passed, and now their life went back to semi-normal. And I thought, you know what? What's it going to take? What's it going to take to get your attention? What does God have to do to say, look up? You know? And so this is Pharaoh. He's going to get mad. He's going to let his pride come in rather than saying, you know, he's going to harden his heart rather than breaking and saying, you know what? I'm just going to come to my senses. And some of you guys have been there. You know what it's like. God had to let me really collapse and my life fall apart and be face down before I would even begin to look up. Some of you guys have that same kind of testimony. Some of you guys came to the Lord, you know, real easy when you were younger. You just kind of were that, you know, somebody mentioned it and you gave your life to the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. But then you have those stubborn, prideful ones like me and like some of you in this room where God had to really kind of do all kinds of things before you would just really open your eyes. Sad thing to me is some people never do, no matter how bad it gets. And there's going to be people, it says in Revelation, that'll be so hard that even when God, in his love, is pouring out his wrath. Now, that sounds funny, but I'm going to repeat that. Even though God, in his love, is pouring out his wrath in the last days, like it says he'll do in Revelation. Why do I say in his love? Because they wouldn't come to Christ any other way. They're on their way to eternal separation from God. So God says, I'm going to make one last attempt. I love them so much. I don't want to see them end up eternally separated and in the lake of fire. So I'm going to allow this wrath to come to get their attention because I love them. And it says that rather than finally going, what am I doing? I'm an idiot. I mean, everything's falling apart. The world's in flames. I think it's probably time to pray. It says they're going to be shaking their fist at God saying, how could you? Look how hard a heart can get. Can a heart get hard? What does it take, guys? This is really with Pharaoh. We're going to get there. We're going to see Pharaoh just. And what's interesting is when we get to Pharaoh, we're going to see that over and over it says, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And it was Pharaoh's choice to harden his heart, wasn't it? He's the one that kept hardening it. One of the saddest verses in Scripture is after all these times of saying, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart, there's a sudden change in the language and it says, and God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. See, here's what the Bible teaches. If we continue to harden our heart long enough, God will come alongside us and say, if that's what you want, I'll agree with it. And now I'm going to solidify it. And there you go. Eternal separation and condemnation from God. It's a scary place to be. Now, you got to go a long way down the road to get there. Don't misunderstand me. But Pharaoh's going to get there. Amazing. And so he says, I'll do all this. I'll stretch out my hand. I'll strike Egypt, my wonders, which I'll do in its midst. You know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to strike Egypt. He says, then he'll let you go. When I finally do that, he's going to see it's going to take, you know, 9 plagues, the 10th one, really 10 plagues before he'll do it. And he says, and I will give this people favor. Now that kind of shifts here, the last couple of verses. And he says, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty handed. So when you leave you're going to go with some possessions. Notice God, again, has the ability, several things to note here, but notice first of all, that God has the ability to give us favor. That's a good prayer to pray. If you're at your workplace and they don't like you, or you're wherever and they don't like you and things are going hard, start praying for favor. Say, God, I see in your word that you gave the children of Israel favor, and not just favor, it was favor with their enemies. So it wasn't just favor with like somebody that was normal. This is an enemy God gives favor to. So God can give you favor, and God does give favor. And I've seen God do that before. I've seen God give me favor in certain situations. And I'm like, man, this is God's hand. Because I know I would not have this much favor if it wasn't the Lord. So pray for that. Say, God, give me favor. Give me favor at work. Give me favor at home. Give me favor. Wherever you need the favor, ask for God to do it. So God can give us favor. I think that's important to note there. And secondly, notice he said to them, when you go, not if you go. That means God, you know, when God makes a promise, God's going to keep it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And so, you know, we've said this before. If God has made a promise to you, God is going to keep that promise. You can bank on it. It's going to happen. But lastly, notice he says that when they do go, they will not go empty-handed. We'll see more of that in verse 22. But God says he will bless them with goods and belongings, and he'll move the hearts of the Egyptians, we're going to see, to give them money and belongings. Amazing. Now, we'll give the reason for that in a moment. But look at verse 22. He says, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house. So basically go to your neighbors in your neighborhood. Knock on the door. Ask for articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Now, I'm not suggesting that today. I'm not suggesting go knock on your neighbors. You know, it says here in, you know, Exodus chapter 3, I'm supposed to ask for gold and silver and, you know. But there's a reason for this. The reason they go to their neighbors to ask for silver and gold and clothing and put them on their children, why? Again, there's several reasons. Number one, the silver and gold would be needed for the temple service. When they get out into the wilderness, they're going to be building the temple of God, and they're going to need all this gold and silver. They didn't have any possessions. They were slaves. So God is giving them the silver and the gold to go out and so they can build the temple of God and worship the Lord. The clothing for their families was because, again, they were slaves. They had very little clothing. Their kids didn't have probably much of anything to wear. And so they said, get clothes for your kids to be able to wear. And notice, ask silver and gold of them. Now, why would God tell them to go to the Egyptians and ask silver and gold? Because they owed it to them. What do you mean they owed it to them? They've been slaves working for free for a long time. Now it's payday. You know, when you work for God, here's the difference. When you work for God, God makes sure you get paid. If you're working for the Lord, all through Scripture, whenever you're working for God, and the children of Israel were working for God, they were God's servants. Although they were not real close to God at this time, God had promised to Abraham that he was going to take them into the land and make them a great nation. And God says, you're working for me. I'm going to make sure you're paid. We see the same thing when even Nebuchadnezzar, unsaved Nebuchadnezzar, when God sent him against the enemies of God, it says that God gave him the reward of the kingdoms that he conquered. Why? Because he was working for God. God will make sure that he pays his employees, if you want to look at it that way. And that means if you guys are working for the Lord, God is going to pay you. You're going to get paid. It may not always be in cash. It may not even be down here. It might not be till heaven when you finally get paid. But I can tell you this, if you serve the Lord and you think nobody sees and nobody cares and I'm not appreciated and nobody says whatever, you're going to get rewarded.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Maybe you've heard these things mentioned in the book of Exodus before, or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. Exodus is one of those books where it's undeniable, observing God's power and might in what He does through His people and for His people. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Exodus next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series, plus much more, at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. Before we close, we want you to know that if you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark in the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community. And through this radio outreach, there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Exodus, so be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.